Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight Podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
We are back at JLC Live in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm sitting here with Dan. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Tom? Another exciting day here at JLC.
It is. Good meeting people, shaking some hands, kissing a few babies, you know, all that stuff. But so, guys, this will be a quick episode, 15 minutes or so. We're going to do a couple Q&A things here. We're actually sponsoring the beer garden here, which just lesson for all of you for marketing shit. Hey, be where people want to be.
Right? Absolutely.
And I walked around the expo here and I'm like, hey guys, 1 o'clock, we got free beer upstairs. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, we got free beer. So anyway, but I want to get right into this question here. Nico, what's up, Nico? You know, whenever I hear a name like that, I just go, Nico, you know, Tony.
My son's youngest son's name is Nico.
Nico, do you say that to him?
Yeah, scream it like Rocky.
Is it
like
short
Rocky.
For Nicholas?
No.
Is it literally Nico?
It is literally Nico.
I always thought it was Nicholas. And you just call him Nico.
No, he's called him Nico.
Get out of here.
Middle name is Cash, after Johnny Cash.
Nico Cash?
Yep.
Sherwood.
Yeah.
That's a fucking cool name. I didn't know Cash was his middle name.
He's a badass motherfucker.
Beer, man. So, all right. Nico wants to know, looking at shops to rent, we're a small electrical contractor. For our size, we do a massive amount of work and only looking to become bigger. The shop we want to rent, the owner runs a huge restoration company, uses another local electrician that does over 300K of work for him a year. The owner was ranting about me from our meeting and it got back to me how much he liked me and had great feelings. Question is, do you think it's a great business strategy to rent from him with our logos in his face and us in his ear to potentially start doing work for him? And then what's a good way to justify a shop? Material shortage, storage, advertising, being able to watch the guys, check on their vans, have a central location and for employees, etc. What do you think?
I think that if you're already in good favors with this guy, I like keeping church and state separated. So I wouldn't want to be a tenant for him as well. I would just be the best damn electrical subcontractor, whatever you are, to this gentleman.
Well, it doesn't sound like he's working for him yet.
Right, right.
The guy has another electrician, but he's interested in this guy. So you're just saying keep it separate. I don't want to marry someone. What if we got to break up later?
Exactly.
And you're renting shop space from him. Now you got two things that you got to unfuck.
Exactly. Yeah, you already made a good impression. And you don't want to be walking into you have a bad job. You don't want to be walking in every day and just kind of cross the streams, is my opinion on it.
Nico, and I know you had two questions here. So my answer to the thing about renting from this GC is I'm going back to my daily never do it again list, Dan. I default to this almost every day, like several times, that I just personally don't want to be anyone or anything's little bitch. So... You know, and I say it depends, like depends on the relationship. And like Neil, you know, you guys know Neil Christensen in the Contractor Fight. He works with us and he's fucking amazing. Neil was, you know, kick-ass remodeling contractor and we had a good relationship and this and that. But Neil fired my painting company like 3 times for the year. So if I was rent and we're great friends now and practically fucking brothers, you know,
yeah.
And, but it would have been really awkward if I was renting space from him. That's where I think. So I just think it depends. I don't want to have my whole operation upset if I got to go to this contractor one day and go. I mean, can you imagine if Neil had to fire me and I'm still renting space from him? That's right. Like a really uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Just so. Don't cross the streams. And his second question about a good way to justify a shop with material storage, advertising, being able to watch the guys, check on their vans, etc. And it always falls under our depends answer as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron, one of our clients in Arizona, has a shop and he's able to. In a time when it's really hard to find furnaces for his HVAC company, he's got the space, he bought them at a good price, and he's got inventory where other people don't. So
yeah.
it's an advantage in that regard. It's nice to have you guys all come to a shop. We have a place for team meetings and your vehicle's secured and
yeah.
And make sure your projects are staged correctly. So, but again, what's the overhead? Do you need one? I know plenty of guys that don't.
Yeah. And whatever you spend on the shop, or any overhead expense, say it's $5,000 a month or whatever. That's, you got to do, if you do a 50% gross profit, you got to sell an additional $10,000 a month just to break even on the shop. And Dan, I'm thinking back our location. I saw this building for rent and it was on the main drag at 80,000 people to drive by today. And I rented it. We didn't even need it. It didn't even have a shop. It was an office. And I rented it because it had a kick-ass, it had kick-ass signage on the busiest road in the town. Right. And it was a great place to bring the team together every week and rally and meet and train and things like that. So that was my justification for it. Like where it made sense to me, it was a marketing thing. So right. Nico, I think, I don't know. I'm just not, I know it makes sense for a lot of guys to do shop space that's in an industrial area that's off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. And I get it, but I'm just a fan of being visible,
right?
You know, like I want to be on the main drag, and if it costs me a little more, I want thousands of cars a day driving by going, hey, who's that? Who's that? You know, I have a client that, you know, invested several hundred thousand dollars building his own building, and he's a remodeler and, you know, design space and all this other stuff. And it's a main drag. It's across the street from all these higher end doctors and chiropractors and shit. And he's killing it.
Right.
So, but he had to front a lot of money and he's working his ass off to recoup that. And he's doing it. But I'm just saying, so again, it depends how disciplined you are and shit like that. So anyway, Nico, good luck, man. Fighters, if you want to make more money, it all starts with raising your gross profit. You could sell millions, but if you ain't keeping enough of the money, you're screwed. That's why we have our 50% bidding sheet for you. If you head to thecontractorfight.com/50, we'll show you how to bid your projects at a 50% gross profit so that you're not undercharging for the high value work that you bring. So if you want to make more money, go to thecontractorfight.com/50.
I still can't believe it's Nico Cash as your son.
Yeah.
I knew it was Nico. I thought it was Nicholas. God, Dan, I don't even know you. I'm so sorry. I failed you. All right. What's the next question?
We've got
the last one of the day here. Then we got to go give away some beer.
So we've got,
Mike.
Yeah. Let's do Mike.
All right. I got plans for a project in January. So you got some plans in January back in, not plans to do a project in January, but I got some because it's March.
Received plans for a project. Yes.
Architect and building department are dragging. Project probably won't break ground until late April or early May. With the ever-changing price of materials lately more so, how do you guys deal with this issue from point A of giving a bid to point B of building? Here I'm looking at a 4 to 5 month gap and pretty big increases in material and gas prices. Thanks for your insight. Great question.
We hear this question a lot lately.
Yeah, ton.
People are...
Rightly so.
Terrified about it. What's your approach on that, Tom?
Call Carolyn.
Yeah.
Carolyn Cromines, construction attorney, the Cromines Law Firm. She's out of Houston. She works with contractors all over the place, all over the country. Honestly, I would have her dial in your contract and the wording to protect your ass because, you know, it's like the depends answer, right? It depends like, hey, we're going to build this building and I'm going to be like, okay, just so you know, before we get a deposit, order materials, break ground, do all this other stuff, you know, your material costs could go up and this and that. You just want to have the language in your contract that they agree upon, like this with the shit going on right now in the world and the economy and the market. You have no control over some things and it's going to be what it is and you need to be cool with it. That's the wording, right? But not in better legal words.
Yeah. I've seen some guys doing things where they're, you know, first of all, I wouldn't lock in pricing and from my bid until there's a contract. Mm-hmm. So if it's you're waiting months and waiting, you have to set something to give you a cushion. But some things I'm hearing other guys are doing, if they've got shop space and they can get enough money for the materials, they're buying that stuff in advance to locking it in. Mm-hmm. And you're not worrying about, you know, prices adjusting in the interim. If you don't have shop space, something I did last year quite a bit was I locked in purchases with my vendor, let them store it at their site for me.
Yep.
And I bought 3 months worth of paint at the price, knowing that price increase was coming. So it's just kind of a little bit of planning, a little bit of get ahead of it. And I think it's communicating with people. And if you got a long drawn out project, maybe you have to revisit. We're going through phases like, okay, framing, we're going to lock in the price on materials here.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to sheetrock. We're going to have to see where we're at a few months down the road before we jump in there.
Yeah, it's definitely a complicated situation, especially for guys that are GCs, remodelers and stuff. I mean, your painting contractor, that's where I cut my teeth as well. And it's simpler.
Yeah.
You know, it just is. It's just, you know, there's certain trades that are a true pain in the ass to, you know, mm-hmm. So for the, you guys are doing that, protect yourself with the paperwork, but also this is all in your sales process. You got to be freaking dialed in with expectations and the conversations up front.
And you have to be dialed in with your estimating and know your numbers and know your material costs, because the guys I'm seeing, they're getting burned on it, are just wild ass guessing this stuff.
Yep.
And so you're already 25% off and then prices go up 40-50%. Like, you're just getting compound fucked through not knowing what's happening.
I could always count on you for new terminology. Compound fucked. Is that like compound interest where it gets better over time or worse over time?
Yes, it's compound fucks are getting worse over time.
Okay. Yeah. Fighters, today's show is brought to you by Jobber. It is a mobile and online app that helps keep your business organized and looking more professional than ever. Here's something pretty cool. With Jobber, the average home service professional grows their revenue at an average of 28% in the first year. You can manage your business and back and forth with customers from one place. Estimates, quotes, scheduling, invoice, you get paid. No software experience is required. You can check it out for free. You get a 14-day free trial by going to thecontractorfight.com/jobber.
Hey, so appreciate you guys listening to us today. You know, one other thing on this, on that thing. We talked about expectation, your sales process. Guys, you got to be, this is why content is so important too. Yep. I know, Dan, I can't imagine how sick of people must be me going, build your brand, create content, all this other shit. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm in the situation of these guys and materials, I'm creating videos and content and social posts and YouTube channel shit going, you know, hey, one of the biggest issues that we're having right now in the construction industry is material charges. And so when your contractor, you know, is kind of like, you know, hey, we don't know what shit's going to cost.
Right.
This is why. And I would just go into education mode because, again, that just builds trust and transparency.
Yeah. And then also just not be confident in yourself to present that to the customer. You know, mm-hmm. everything around us is going through the roof price-wise right now. So it's not some foreign concept where it's just a 2x4 that's going nuts. It's all these other aspects of life. So it's not, we're not unique. And so it's the customer's problem, but they get it.
Hey, Dan, when the price of fuel goes up, what's the airline do?
Raise their prices.
Yeah. So whose problem is it?
Whoever wants to go to Tahiti's problem.
Yeah, it's not the airline's problem. And same here, guys. All right. Shit costs more. You raise the price. Not your issue. Not your problem. Protect yourself in the paperwork. Set expectations, have great conversations with people.
Yep, that's it.
And it is what it is. They either want the thing or they don't want the thing. And this is also why you need to market your ass off, build your brand, so you could have a shit ton of leads coming in, so you could give zero fucks. Yep. So
it's the way to go.
It's really nice to sell when you give zero fucks.
It is.
You know?
It is. No emotion, no fucks.
Awesome. So I have a ask of you guys. I have two asks. The first ask is give us a rating and review on iTunes here, wherever you listen to this thing. Because when you do that, this gets pushed out to more contractors. And the more contractors that hear this shit, better off the whole industry is. Number two ask is, I'm thinking about doing pool time with Tom. Not swimming pool, like in a fucking banana hammock or anything. But, you know, my house in the basement where I work, work in the dark basement. That's what it sounds like, right? The cold cellar. Well, I'm down there. It's a nice space. Got a kick-ass pool table and stuff like that. And Dan, I mentioned to you this morning, like, I'm thinking about, like, you know, once or twice a quarter, flying a guest out and shooting pool and having a conversation for the show and video and stuff like that. So, guys, what do you think of that idea? I just want to ask the audience, mm-hmm. what do you think? And give me a post or a DM on Instagram. Go to Real Tom Reber on Instagram. And side note, if it's Real Tom Reber with an underscore, it's a fake account that the fuckers at Instagram are still not taken down in almost a week and a half, even though over 100 people have reported it as a fake account and they're stealing money from people. And by the way, if I've DM'd you and asked you to buy Bitcoin, that ain't me. All right. If I've DM'd you and told you I'm in love with you, and I'm stranded in Dubai and I lost my wallet on a construction project, you know what? Go back to playing with your fucking cat, because it ain't me. All right? Anyway.
I mean, this happens every fucking day, you guys. All right. And number three, if you're tempted to give money to a stranger on the internet that you've never met, okay, and don't have a history with and all this other stuff, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, just see it. Bad life choice.
Okay. Bad life choice. So anyway, my friends, thanks for listening today. But let me know at Real Tom Reber on Instagram what you think of Pool Time with Tom. If you have a better name, give me a better name. That's cool. And I'll send some swag your way too. And
knocking balls with Tom.
Knocking balls with Tom.
Yep.
Just the tips.
Just the tips.
The tip with Tom. Pool Q tip has a tip. The pool cue has a lot of things have a tip, Dan.
Yep.
So
eight ball back pocket.
Did you hear that, Nicole? Good. She just turned and like gave us the rolled eyes look and and I thought she heard us and she didn't hear us. She didn't hear you, Dan. So
that's a disapproval of your grown ass man look.
That was a mom look.
It was.
That was a total mom look. It was. She just turned looked like really.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, my friends, you know what? I'm digging these in-person interviews and conversations, but I'm also learning how highly distracted we are when there's a crowd around, which is kind of fun though. I don't know. It's fun for me. I don't know if anyone gives a fuck and they're listening anymore, but
that's good. It's good to have a live crowd.
It is good. There you go. All right. So let's go hit the beer line and meet some people. Appreciate y'all hanging out here. Give us a review, share this with another contractor. We're out. Hey fighters. Hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode. And that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com. And in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.